community person as well as the city about the gates being plugged in with a lot of debris. So this is one thing that maybe you want to take a look at, that they do have that straightened up, because the slope will be much higher and therefore we get a faster run of water. The next item pertains to the safety education that you'll be doing along the expo line. As you know, schools change from each year. Kids will be in school this year, they're out next year. Is this an ongoing program that you have? You're just going to have a training for the kids who are presently at the school, and then, hell, next year the new ones come in, they don't know nothing at all. So this is something that we need to go like, for kids, you got to have an ongoing all the time, because school, they start from the ninth grade or eighth grade and move on up. And so each year you get new students in there. The next item pertaining to last month, which was April, item number six. Item number 6B, where you indicated that the stop at Farmdale as a result of the three-way between LAUSD, the MTA, and the Expo line, you will have three different, in other words, the baseline train control system provides a single block of 55 miles per hour speed. That was the original speed for that particular area at Farmdale. So, but in order to support the terms of the settlement agreement, three additional blocks were required to provide a 0 to 15 mile per hour course speed, and the other one a speed of 15 miles per hour. As you know, I will assume if you're going to have just a straight 15 miles per hour, you don't intend to stop every time at that station. Is that what I'm hearing? That means that you're only going to be stopping during the school time and not at night? As I read this, that doesn't say that. Could he hear?
Mr. Simmons, we'll get you an answer on that.
What was that?
We'll get you an answer on that.
I don't see.
We'll get you an answer on that. So I'll make sure you get an answer before the end
of the meeting. Okay, fine, because these are things that I want to know. The two speeds, one is 15 miles, the other from 0 to 15, as you know, accelerating. 60 miles an hour is 88 feet per second, and so we're looking at a 4. So these are the things that we want to get straightened out, because to me, it doesn't sound like this train would be stopping every time. So if I want to get on board after school hours, I'll just be standing out there until the next morning, I guess. So thank you for giving me a chance to speak, and I'm sure that I'll chat with you on that before.
Thank you. We do have another public comment card from Mr. Tut Hayes.
I would suggest you take some of the basic off of the PA system. That makes the speech more intelligible. It sounds nice for a club to have all this bass, but it doesn't come off too well to the ear outside. I have been discouraged from getting involved with the Expo line, because most of the people who are involved know about me, my reputation, my distasteful activity, and they don't want to go there. But I am always going to, despite my colleagues' objection, get involved in life and death issues. The Crenshaw line, going down to Crenshaw High School, won't be done. I know that's not your game, but some of the people who are sitting here do know what I'm talking about. Now, as far as the Expo line is concerned, you have a... What's going on? Why is it light on?
You only put in one card, and so you get 1 minute, but why don't you go ahead and finish up what you're saying?
I get what?
You get 1 minute to speak before the board.
Sure, that's not on here anywhere. What is this? I'm being blindsided?
No, that's the board policy. If you put in multiple...
Well, I understand what you're saying. I don't think you're making up stuff right now. But whatever you make up, vote on, and legislate should be distributed to the public. We should not have to guess what you're going to do next.
Mr. Hayes, if you could just finish your comments, please.
Yeah, well, do I have 3 minutes like the previous gentleman?
I'll give you another minute.
Huh?
I'll give you one more minute.
Okay, well, the canopy over the Expo Line station is an undulating thing that is net, you know, wire net. And as a consequence, when the sun is at its apex, it comes right down on the passengers standing on the platform. So it's not a shade. It doesn't show them. And, of course, when the sun's not off but the rain is pouring down, the rain comes right through that net, too. Isn't that brilliant? Huh? But that's what you have voted for, I guess. So when I call about that, they said this, that, the other, I was transferred 4 or 5 times, and someone probably came up with a good idea. Well, sir, what are we going to do? We're going to put something underneath that net so that it will block the sun and block the rain. But the artist's rendition will be completely obscured because it's a very attractive artist's work, but it's not functional. I contend that throughout this whole thing, you'll find things just like that. They're not functional.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Moving on to item number 5 is the consent calendar. We have one item on that, item 5A. Are there any objections to adopting item 5A? Are there any questions? Then without objection, we'll adopt item 5A on the consent calendar. Moving on to item number 6, item 6A. Madam Secretary, if you could read that item.
Contract package C1, storm drain contract amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this item deals with the completion of storm drain work for segment C1, specifically the drainage along the Hauser access road. There were a lot of changes to that road, the PUC. There's a lot of businesses along there. PUC required only one access. We had to put in a frontage road. Along with that was drainage. That came fairly late in the project. The design was completed separate from the rest of the C package. Now we have the completion of that design and the cost for installing the storm drain, and would recommend approval of the amount of $1,345,104 to do that work.
Are there any questions?
Motion
by Director Mawson. Second. Seconded by Director Rosenfeld. So without objection, we'll adopt the staff report on item 6A. Moving on to 6B, Madam Secretary, could you read that item?
Balfour Beatty Infrastructure, Inc., Balfour Beatty Rail, Inc., Joint Venture Construction Contract, Limited Notice to Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this item is dealing with the first part of the remainder of the work. As you may recall, FFP's contract was to build to an interim station in Culver City. When we decided to add the aerial structure, we cut back their work to just west of Biona Creek. And so that left the remainder of the work. We contracted out to do the aerial structure when we got the additional revenues. We still need to place track the overhead power system, the train control system to get the project operational from La Cienega to Culver City. This action would do that. We are recommending a sole source contract with this contractor because we felt it was very important to use somebody that was already familiar with the project. Balfour Beatty Rail did all the rail, but they also have the capability of doing all the OCS and train control work as well. And so we are recommending moving forward a sole source procurement with this firm. That being said, there's a lot of other work that still needs to be done. We have the parking lots in Culver City, bike path in Culver City. We have the Farmdale station, and we have the yard and storage facilities that need to be done. We asked Balfour Beatty for a price. The price came in very high, almost double what we had in our budget. So what we have done is our discussions, or the bid included the ability to negotiate those costs. We have, for the last few days, been working on negotiating the cost for that first phase of work and the most important phase, which is to get the track work and OCS out to Culver City done so we can get the trains running out there. This cost is about $1.5 million over our estimate. What it means, though, is it's still within the budget of all the rest of the work. It means that some of the other elements of work need to be either de-scoped or we have to get a better price as we negotiate. And I think hopefully there'll be a combination of those. So what we're asking for today is that you approve a sole source contract for this element of work for the $3,894,185, which has been the negotiated amount for that one element. And then we will continue negotiations on the rest. If we're successful, we'll bring it back to you. Successful as far as either negotiations or budget and or both, hopefully next month, with a recommendation on where we go from here. But this is a critical element that needs to move forward as quickly as possible if we're going to try to open up to Culver City early next year.
So how does this amount compare to what we anticipated this work was going to cost?
Well, we estimated, what I put in here is what we estimated the cost of the revised board item is what was finally negotiated. We had two elements. Normally, we estimate what we call general conditions, which is basically the management, staff, support, equipment to oversee a project. We do that on a percentage basis, but in this particular case, it was much higher because you couldn't have a portion of a person. You can't have a portion of a truck. So the idea is as we move forward with the rest of the work, and assuming we're successful in the negotiations, the overall cost, we won't need the second half to pay for the second half of the truck because it's already paid for. So the remaining elements will be much lower, and that was the biggest portion. Then there was another portion where this was bid out originally with FFP a long, long time ago, almost 2 years ago, when the plans weren't complete. And the other remaining portion of that cost, about half of that $1.5 million cost, is the cost of the additional work after final design was completed. A lot of additional wiring was required. And so those are basically the two elements. But
thank you very much.
Any other questions? Is there a motion to move this? Motion by Director Malson.
Second.
Seconded. So without objection, we will adopt item 6B. Let's move on to item number 7. Madam Secretary, if you could read that item.
7A, project status update.
Starting with some of the progress along the alignment, as the contractor wraps up the construction work, this is the installation of some of the landscaping along Exposition Boulevard. You see, go out there. A large portion of that has been completed. This is a look of the artwork at the Vermont station that was recently installed. One of the first grand pylons here at the Expo Crenshaw Station been installed. Here they're wrapping up the construction of the station at La Brea. Here's the Culver City Station that continues to progress nicely at the west end of the project. Major issues. One major issue that's come up is substantial completion, which per the settlement agreement was going to be June 15th. We were just recently informed by our contractor that they are now anticipating they are going to be 2 months behind schedule in completing their testing activities. We just today actually received their schedule. We are in the process now of evaluating that schedule to see what we can do to expedite this. We have scheduled a meeting with the contractor ourselves and Metro to have a workshop to see what we can do to try to condense this schedule in an effort to hold the November opening date. So we have a challenge on our hands here over the next month working with our contractor to get this line completed and tested out. Along with that, there's still remaining project elements that Mr. Thorpe talked about that we're now negotiating with Balfour Beatty Rail, Balfour Beatty Infrastructure, the storage facility, the Farmdale Station, and then also the completion of the work in Culver City. The project budget, again, we've executed $513.7 million in construction contracts and change orders, which were still within the $570.2 million in construction allowance and contingency. But there's still a number of risk elements out there that could impact the budget. We continue to work our cost containment efforts, the value engineering, third-party reimbursements, deferring elements of the work, and then also continue, as Mr. Thorpe said, looking at other additional cost-saving measures. Through March, we are currently forecasting a shortfall of $10.8 million. Which is down a little bit from our February forecast, but again, as you can see, this kind of goes up and down as we start to finalize elements of work. As far as the local jobs program and DBE, the contractors reported that FFP local hire hours for April was at 54.2% for local employees. That's a cumulative to date of 35.7%, and they're forecasting 36.5% at completion of the job. For subcontractor local hires, this last in April, they had 20.3% local hires working for a 24.5 cumulative to date, and they're forecasting 20.4 at completion of the job, and they're currently forecasting 30%. When the job is complete. DBE performance, at the 20% goal for design services, they've attained 24% to date. This is through March. And they anticipate 24.8% for design, professional services, 31.5% to date, and they forecast 32.2%. Construction services, they've attained 16.8% and are forecasting 17.7%. Overall, at completion of the job for all these different components, they're anticipating an overall 20.9%. Phase two, the Stage B design contract, we're in the process of receiving bonds and insurance certificates for the contract, and we anticipate serving limited notice to proceed to the Skanska-Rados team sometime next week. The maintenance facility design contract, we are in the process now of negotiating the scope and costs for preliminary engineering with maintenance design group and hope to get them going this month. Venice Boulevard aerial structure, we have completed the 65% design and the final draft PSRPR. We've just received comments and we're preparing a design-build bid package for competitive pricing for Balfour Beatty Infrastructure, the bridge contractor for Phase 1, and Skanska-Rados, our Stage B design-build contractor. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Director Roosevelt?
Yeah, the question we all get asked, when do you estimate the public will be able to ride the segments that are under construction?
And that's the question we attempt to avoid. Our target date is November. As Eric indicated, the contractor just advised us that they're 2 months behind their completion schedule. We're looking to see whether Metro and the contractor can get there and overlap some of their work. If we're able to do that, and we're scheduling a meeting next Tuesday, a workshop to go over to see what we can do. We're still hopeful we'll be able to meet that. We call it a target date because, as you may remember, on the East Side project, we had a target date, and then we ran into some problems when we were testing that had to be corrected, and it took over 3 months to correct those problems. So, so far the testing is that we have done is going fairly well. We haven't run into any major issues, but certainly this 2 month delay is going to make it very difficult to reach our goal.
That would be to La Cienega?
That would be to La Cienega. And this action you just took for us to complete the work out to Culver City still keeps us on target for early 2012 opening out to Culver City.
So it is conceivable the testing could go faster than expected, didn't it, on the Gold Line to Pasadena?
Yes.
Check out ahead of schedule, so there's a chance that if things go well.
Yeah, if things go really well, but we just, I mean, we still have 2 months to overcome. So even if things go really well, we're in a situation where we're going to have to overlap some things, and that's going to be something that Metro is going to have to work with us and see if it's even possible to do.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, Mr. Parks.
Let me just ask on the issue of moving up the 2 months. Does if you do really well and you get make up the 2 months on to La Cienega, and you're now pushing up against the March opening in Culver City, do you merge those? Do you have two separate openings? How does that work?
Yeah, we'd have to consider that. You know, if we can't make the November and it starts slipping, yeah, then we'll. I mean, it could be that this follow-on contract does really well and those two dates start getting very close. You probably just have one opening then, rather than two.
And then the other issue is that does this at all impact, I mean, does slippage impact on litigation, or is there issues as to who's responsible? Is that
well, part of the yes, part of the settlement agreement had a substantial completion date of June 15th. Included in that was a 30-day grace period. So that would be till July 15th. At that point, we are supposed to start collecting liquidated damages at a cost of about $30,000 a day. Now, the contractor has indicated, well, there's other issues where, you know, they didn't receive controllers for traffic signals and other things, saying that it's our fault. I don't think they're just going to accept $30,000 a day without some sort of discussion, whether it would go to litigation, we don't know. But I think it's too early to have those discussions. I mean, they still have the ability to try to catch up, and we'll see where we go.
Is that an issue that goes to mediation or something before you get into the legal?
Oh, yes. There's the dispute resolution process, DRB, that would make a recommendation before it went that far.
But currently, the two-month pushback doesn't affect Culver City date at this time.
That's correct.
And then let me ask you just on a very parochial issue. On Western and Expo at Fauché, I think we got message recently that they're going to do the left, north-south, left-turn lanes within the next month or so. And
yes.
The next thing we're wondering about is the status of the parking lot, and once they do those lanes, the parking for the businesses on the west side of Western pretty well evaporates. And what's the status of that? And I think the city's done their contribution. Is that now fully
right.
Funded, or where are we on that part of it?
Yeah, maybe I'll let Samantha. Samantha's kind of working with Metro's real estate.
A few things are happening on that issue, and we've been in contact with your staff as well to try to keep your office up to speed. We are working with our environmental consultant to see what we need to do to environmentally clear that property. And they are doing some research right now to find out what type of environmental document that would take and what level of FTA review would be required. So we're in the process of getting that information from them. We're also in the process of working with Metro Real Estate to contact the owner to see if they would be a willing seller, because they have three or four businesses on that property, and we want to make sure that we're not going to have a condemnation situation. So we also need to do what's called a phase two assessment, which looks at the environmental condition of the property, because it used to be a gas station. So we need to find out what type of remediation is required. So Metro Real Estate is in the process of contacting that owner right now, and also to see what would be required to do a phase two real estate assessment on that property. And once we have all of that information, then I think we can figure out where we are in terms of our budget and what we need to do to proceed.
When we use the term willing seller, does that also mean we don't have to move them or give them funds? Replaced, or is this a straight purchase?
We would, because it's a federal purchase, we're not usually able to do a global settlement. So we would have to do some sort of relocation.
Then my final question is that we went through the figures on the hiring on the phase one. And I've been missing a couple of meetings, but what have we done on phase two to prevent that lag on subcontractors? Because it's pretty clear from the beginning, the prime has done a really good job. But if I understand it, most of the jobs are in the subcontractor area, and they lag, and at the very end we'll hit 30%, but there's like a 10 or 12% difference between they're accomplished. I'm just, did we put something in place to prevent that in phase two?
Yes, we did. We have as part of the construction careers program, a contractor is required to bring somebody on board to monitor that program and to solicit SBEs and other subcontractors, make them aware of the requirements. The PLA that was approved also helps us out in getting local people out of the hiring halls for both the primes and the subcontractors. So that will be started right out of the chute. We have had a meeting already with the Building Trades Council and the contractor to get that process started. So we are very optimistic everybody seems very encouraged that we should meet the goal and our effort, our goal, both the Building Trades Council and the contractor's goal is to exceed the goal that's in the contract.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay, so thank you very much, Mr. Olson. Let's move on to item 7B. Madam Secretary, could you read the item?
Expo Phase 1 Safety Education Program.
We have Ms. Yamato providing us with the presentation today.
Yeah, let me just kind of introduce this item a little bit. We have Stacy coming up from Metro, Metro Safety Program. Metro handles the safety program because it is an ongoing program. So once the construction authority turns the project over to Metro, they will continue the safety program for years to come. We thought it would be an appropriate time, since we're going to start getting a lot of trains running out there, to bring Stacy and give you an idea of what their program is, what they're out there doing, so that if you guess, if you get any questions, you'll be able to answer them. So with that, I'll turn it over to Stacy.
Thank you. My name is Stacy Yamato. I am with Metro's Transit Education Programs, and I am assigned to conduct safety outreach along the Expo line. My manager, Barbara Burns, apologizes for not being here today. She is actually doing her civic duty today, and she is at jury duty. So she apologizes for not being here, but I'm happy to be here. This is an update on our safety training program. We have a total of 86 schools within a 1.5-mile radius of the Expo line. To date, with the K through 12 schools, we have trained 70% of all schools within the 1.5-mile radius. Within that percentage, 80% of the schools within a half mile of the alignment have received the safety training. In terms of the colleges and universities along the alignment, we have done safety outreach and are developing relationships with USC, LA Trade Tech College, and Mount St. Mary's College. What we've been doing with the train testing notices is we send it out to our contacts, and then they have the ability to do email blasts to the entire campus, which includes students, faculty, and staff. And we're also planning to schedule safety presentations to each of the campuses. In terms of outreaching to community groups along the alignment, this is just a partial list of some of the groups, United Neighborhoods Neighborhood Council, Crenshaw Manor, Baldwin Hills Village, Blair Hills, Cameo Woods. We've also completed safety presentations at 9 LA City libraries, 5 senior centers and housing complexes, and 7 recreation and community centers. We're also doing outreach to work centers, chambers of commerce, such as Southeast LA, WorkSource Center, West Adams. We've done presentations to the LA County Probation Department, the Crenshaw Area Office, which is located right on the alignment, to their staff, and we're planning this summer to do presentations to the members of the LA City Chamber, Culver City, and Greater African and American Chamber. We've also done safety presentations to the staff at Orthopedic Hospital. We're also conducting outreach to the Expo Park Museums, California African American Museum, California Science Center, and the Natural History Museum. Part of our outreach efforts also, of course, includes the religious organizations along the alignment, and some of those include St. John's Episcopal Cathedral, the mosque, which is located right on Exposition, West Angeles, and the Senshin Buddhist Temple. These include doing safety presentations as well as having a Metro safety resource table. Our Metro Rail Safety Ambassadors, this program started in 2003 and has proven to be very successful along the Metro Gold Line and the East Side Extension. We had no major safety issues when the ambassadors were in place along those alignments. These are retired bus and rail operators. They will be observing and reporting safety issues back to Metro. They assist the community to ensure safe passage when crossing tracks, and they will also be recommending safety enhancements. Currently, we have 12 ambassadors that started on April 11th of this year. They're at various locations along the alignment. The plan is to have a total of 24 ambassadors 2 months prior and 2 months after we open the line, and then to continue 12 ambassadors until approximately April of next year. We also participate in a variety of community events. This is just, again, a partial listing, such as the Los Angeles Neighborhood Initiative Conference. We've worked extensively with KidWatch, the LAPD Southwest Division, both Fauché and Dorsey High Schools, and just recently we participated in the LA Times Festival of Books. We have a variety of upcoming events that we are scheduled to participate in, again, both at Dorsey and at Fauché, LA Trade Tech, and out in the west end of the area at South Robertson and West Adams. In addition to the presentations, we're also planning additional safety outreach, such as train safety banners. And so these would be basically moving billboards, banners placed on the trains during testing and the pre-revenue phases. We have be distributing safety flyers along the alignment. We're producing a Expo Safety Take One to also be distributed. We're planning safety resource tables along the Expo alignment and, of course, participation in future community events. And then after we opened the Expo line, there was a question in regards to doing continuing with presenting the safety information to the schools. We do this on a yearly basis, so yes, schools will continue to receive the safety training. We will also be conducting the hands-on safety orientation tours for grades 1 through 12 on the Expo line, and, of course, participation in community events. One of our main community resources that we do have is our interactive safety website that's at metro.net, and we have it divided into three age categories from K through 12th grade. It includes safety education, fun games, videos, and safety quizzes where a student can actually print out a certificate once they complete the the quiz. So as you can see, we've been very busy out on the alignment, and we'll continue to conduct our safety outreach. Any questions?
I know that this is not an all-inclusive list, but a couple of the ones that, to me, appear obvious that are not on here are the neighborhood councils, particularly the North Neighborhood Council in the 8th District and also the West Neighborhood Council.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew, I think, I don't know which neighborhood councils touch from this CD10.
Yeah, we also have West Adams.
West Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be places I think you'd almost have to ensure. A couple other things is that although they're not physically located adjoining the line, they're within a very short trip is the Urban League that's on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And then the other thing, we know that the Crenshaw line team that is working for Metro, they must have hit about 50 organizations that are concentrated in and around Crenshaw Boulevard within walking distance of the Expo line. That is a very good list to hit. Plus, I think when we had some of the, Rick, you hired a consultant that went out and did some promos and information about a year ago. They touched a lot of community people and did ads and contacts. That I think that list is something else. So I would just ask you to kind of look at that and see how that can be expanded. Because as we know on this line, probably more than others, is that as it moves forward, we get no matter how long we've been working at it, there will be folks that will show up and say they never knew it was coming. Nobody contacted me. And I think we have to go overboard versus just the bare minimum. And again, some of these are in the sense of just contacts and organizations to let them know because they do have influence. And I would think the LA Sentinel right on Crenshaw and 39th has to be in the mix so that you're telling them and they can end up writing a story or something to the public that is in that community. So those are things I would suggest you add to your list.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on this item? Okay, let's move on to item number 8, CEO comments.
The only comment that I...
Oh, give me just one second. Just a reminder to the public that all public comment cards for on and off items of the agenda are taken up item number 4. And so any cards that came in after we completed item number 4 will be noted for the file. Mr. Thorpe, please continue.
Thank you.
Mr. Hayes, if you let me finish here, if you read the agenda, what it says on item number 4 is that public comment is for items that are on and off the agenda, and you were given extra time under that item. And so with that, Mr. Thorpe, please continue.
Thank you. The only item that I have to mention is the UDC. We sent out a notice for all board members to appoint their UDC members for Phase 2. We'd like to get those as soon as we can because we're getting set to get the UDC organized for Phase 2 and would like to hold meetings as soon as possible with them.
Are there any questions for Mr. Thorpe? Okay, let's move on to item number 9, board member comments. Are there any comments from board members? No. With that, then, let's move on to item 10. Is there a motion to adjourn? So moved by Director Mawson. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
We usually have these every month. Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. Now on. So, Ed Reyes was coming in. I said, the one I would never want to be on? He's got the patience of a saint.
No, both.